Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, then.
KFNC.
Are you ready for this?
Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Let's do this.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock, 2 in the books, 1 hour to go, and we still got plenty more show. If you want to join us, please do, 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us or call, or you can hit us up on Twitter as we continue to roll along with topics. I don't know if you guys saw this, but again, it's like the typical situation where you have to have the sacrificial lamb if things go blatantly wrong in something that looks so right. So in the case of the Super Bowl and the Falcons, they not only needed an offensive coordinator, because of the fact that Kyle Shanahan got the Niners job, and then they pulled Steve Sarkisian, who already was the offensive coordinator at Alabama, taking over for Lane Kiffin, and he jumps to the NFL, where there's plenty of free beer. But that's a different story. But he's gone now. Saban's got to replace him. So now the Falcons continue. They're going to have two different coordinators, because the fall guy becomes Richard Smith, the defensive coordinator, as well as defensive line coach Brian Cox. And if you remember now, when the pick six was going on, Brian Cox was celebrating along with head coach Quinn and the rest of the defensive coaching staff. They were all grabbing each other's shirts and celebrating and yelling, and how quickly the tables have turned. The Falcons confirmed Wednesday they will not retain Richard Smith, though they have offered him another position within the organization. However, he is to be mulling over other opportunities before he makes a decision, and defensive line coach Brian Cox is out. They are saying that they will probably still look to fill the position from within. Secondary coach Marquand Manuel could be the next defensive coordinator, as well as considering several other defensive coaches. But to me, guys, I mean, for a team
that... Isn't he their secondary coach?
Who?
Manuel. Is he their secondary coach?
Did I say that?
No, that's what I'm asking.
Oh, I thought I said that.
I think
yeah, he is the secondary coach.
Okay. Right? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I would hire from within on the 27th best team defense. Obviously, they gave up a ton of passing yards as well. I think I'd look elsewhere. There are probably some viable candidates.
But you know, the thing is, like Travis was talking about the other day, when a defensive back falls down, or I'm sorry, when a receiver falls down and the defensive back doesn't jump the route or close on it, mm-hmm. and the receiver is able to fall down, get back up, get back into where the route would be run normally, and make catches in front of you. Secondary didn't play great either. I mean, although I will say this, for one game, for one half, they were pretty impressive in terms of their pass rush and what they Jared tied a Super Bowl record with 3 sacks. They had the pick six. They were playing definitely well enough to win. They forced a fumble. I just think that this is a case of someone's got to pay the price for what was an embarrassing
Sure.
kind of debacle.
But there are, I think the guy that you could probably pinpoint is gone.
He's now the head coach. And it was on the 49ers. Offensive side of the ball, right.
And I don't know scheme-wise if it would fit, but there are some names out there of proven defensive coordinators as opposed to going, like Wade Phillips.
No, he's gone. He's with the Rams.
Oh, did he get, well, there you go.
Yeah, he got snatched up right after the Rams job was filled.
But there's names out there that are proven. And I would certainly entertain that before I promoted a secondary coach that didn't have any experience for a team that is right there. I would want someone a hell of a lot more proven.
I mean, look, I think that this is a job that, to your point, why you should look outside is because most guys that have been defensive coordinators, mm-hmm. looking at that lineup on the defensive side of the ball, are salivating. Going, look, you got a rookie middle linebacker who forced a fumble and was all over the field. You got great pass rush on the edges. You got young corners and safeties. You can build, and just with a few, maybe a draft picks or a free agency signing or two, you can build and do just a few little tweaks, and that defense could jump up immensely in terms of their rankings and what they're able to do. It's not like you're, put it this way, you're not starting with the cupboard bare.
Right.
So I, to your point, I think that a lot of D coordinators and defensive-minded guys across the league would be knocking on their door to say, hey, I'd love to interview for your defensive coordinator.
Has Rex Ryan been picked up anywhere?
No, he has not. That's actually a pretty good call,
Why wouldn't you entertain that? Somebody like that. I'm not saying, but somebody like a Wade or a
Rex. Just make sure you get the right Ryan.
Yeah.
Because if you go with the other one, that's not good.
But I'm just saying, guys like that on the Falcons team is who I would be entertaining and looking at.
And to Barry's point, think about Rex Ryan when he was the D coordinator at the Ravens, when he had Ray Lewis and he had some tools to work with, and we're talking about the fact that he has some tools to work with, that, you know, there's a lot to be said about a guy like that with a lineup like that could be a match made in heaven in terms of turning around their defense pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But, again, your runner-up team that was dominating in the first half of the Super Bowl is looking for two new coordinators.
Crazy, right?
It is.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And obviously, if you're Steve Sarkisian, instead of dealing with Nick Saban and trying to make Hurts look good and the rest of the Alabama offense that, for being dominant all year, didn't look so good in the national championship game and taking all those weapons on offense, if you're Sarkisian, why don't you take that job, right? I mean, two stud running backs, that set of receivers, and an MVP at quarterback.
They're going to make you look good.
I think I'll do that.
Yeah, they're going to make him look good. No doubt.
Without question. So it'll be interesting to see because, you know, the fact of the matter is that a lot of the teams that were in the Final Four or were in the playoffs this last season are really struggling right now to figure out what's wrong and how do we fix it so that we can compete with the Patriots, because that's going to be who everybody looks at and goes, this is the end-all, be-all. We got to stop them, especially in the AFC. If you're the Texans, you know, you're worried about your quarterback position, but you're also worried about you got to beat a team that has been your kryptonite for the last six games that you've played them.
No doubt.
So,
can I give away some tickets?
Sure.
Do you mind?
No.
Nick, you good? So I've got a show Thursday at the Houston Improv. It's called Couples Therapy. I've done the show a couple times now.
So this is like U of H instead of playing at home, playing at Reliant. Because you're leaving the joke joint. Yeah, your joke joint, which is your home field advantage.
Getting the call up to the big leagues.
And you're going big time on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Which I was just there a couple weeks ago for that Last of the Legends with Warren Moon and tons of other folks and Billy D. Washington. But yeah, I'm back again at the Houston Improv Thursday, which is tomorrow night at 8 p.m. is when it starts. It's called Couples Therapy. It's me, Alan Adams, Chase DeRusso, Albert DeLeon, and I think Dusty Rhodes, she's a phenomenal comic. But it's a blast. It's a great show. We have a ton of fun.
Too, right?
Yeah, not the same, but yeah. So we'll give away two tickets right now. Caller number 5. Don't call if you're not going to go.
And if you're going to go, heckle.
No, don't. God,
oh, sorry.
No. I will walk into the crowd and
call security over to help you.
Yeah, probably. Not doing it. Especially if they're from 409, they'll probably beat me up. But yeah, don't call if you're not going to go to the show. Because I only get a limited number of tickets to give away. So I'd rather them go to people that want to go see it. It's a blast, man. I promise you, you're going to have a good time. It's a great date night as well. So bring the misses and do a date night at the Houston Improv. You'll have a blast. Cool.
There you have it.
Yeah, yeah.
Caller 5, Nick. You ready?
And I'll give away two more tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Yep, yep.
Sharing the love.
Trying to.
Doesn't do it in studio, so he does it on the listener line. That's what you
what do you
like
mean
to hear.
Doesn't do it in studio?
Exactly.
We
what
hug
I said.
After every segment.
No, we do not. There's
yes,
no
we do.
Touching.
I can feel you feeling on my butt.
Yeah, no touching. No, that's your pew pew pew. Very sad.
You totally don't do that good.
I'm glad. There it
like
is.
Like you're not even close.
There it is.
Guns up, whatever that is.
Boy. Okay. Okay. Cliff Kingsbury.
Red Raider, baby.
Okay, Clark Kingsbury, we'll call you.
Red Raider.
All right, we still got plenty more show to go. We got lots of texts and tweets we could read, but we'd like to do more than that. So if you have a topic that's on your mind, you want to talk Astros, you want to talk about their starting rotation, or you want to talk about how good their starting nine should be, let's do that too, because we're both fired up for Astros season. Nick is too. We should probably catch a game. By the time we hit baseball season, there's a chance that Barry and I might be... Nah,
friends?
Let's not even go there.
No way.
No way. We're just...
Facebook friends?
We're co-workers.
Never.
Nah. We'll sit two sections away and and tell everybody on air we went to the game last night. All right, so the Astros are coming up. You want to talk about that? We can talk about that too. But I just have this sneaking suspicion. H-Town, just not big on baseball like they should be. But hopefully they jump on that bandwagon quick. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
We'll be right back.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4, and this just in to get your opinions on. Rumor is, thanks to Bleacher Report, Rockets interested in acquiring Serge Ibaka, also looking into signing Mario Chalmers or Jared Jack. Now, Jared Jack, Mario Chalmers were part of that Cleveland free agent tryout camp that they did last week, along with Lance Stevenson, who ironically enough signed with Minnesota.
My bad.
But we have been contemplating the fact that when we had Calvin Watkins on a while back, he said the Rockets were still looking into a backup point guard. That would be Chalmers or Jared Jack. I've always been a fan of Jared Jack in this system, but I just don't know what he's got left in the tank, and he's been dinged up. So they're contemplating Chalmers or Jared Jack. Both of them are better than Bobby Brown. So,
well, I mean, Bobby Brown
is basically
the
on the roster. Exactly.
He was never the same after he left New Edition. So.
I knew that was coming. There's a dad joke reference that I don't have to take today.
What?
But at the same time, you have to consider that Brown is one of Harden's boys. So I'm not sure they would move him, but I would think it's an upgrade and a safety valve insurance policy for the playoffs to have Chalmers or Jared Jack. Now, Serge Ibaka, I watched the game carefully last night because of the fact that there were so many rumors about how it all ended in Oklahoma City and that he and Harden were at odds. And the fact that Harden got into a little bit of a scuffle and Ibaka was the guy that came in as the voice of reason, put an arm around Harden last night, and it looked like they were cool. So I think he's a guy that has definitely proven himself as a low post defender. As a defender in the lane.
Yeah, no doubt.
As a guy that's a perfect fit because he's athletic enough to run in D'Antoni's system. And he looks like he's pretty miserable in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends to me what you have to give up. But Serge Ibaka is a guy that could definitely push you over the top a little bit towards being a contender if you get a guy like that. I think
Would he, in your opinion, satisfy your big complaint about not having a low post presence for the playoffs?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, here's my
I'm just asking.
I'm not barking at you, but I'm just saying it has to be, considering what we've been talking about all season.
Absolutely. I think he fulfills both of those. The only thing I'd be worried about is he doesn't have a whole lot of sand in his back pocket. That's what Jack Sikma started that, but he's not really like has a lot of bulk when you go up against but there's not that many stronger low post guys. I think because of the fact that he's a proven defender. And because in D'Antoni's system, boy, he's like, in terms of big men, he's like a gazelle when he gets out on a wing, and he can finish. And
I'm all for
here's the other thing.
They could make that happen.
When I kept saying on the offensive side of the ball, someone to put on the low post that can get you two, he can get you two, and he can shoot the three. So he's the perfect.
Yeah. Now that's why he fits.
Perfect.
That's why he fits.
The only question, Barry, what do you got to give up to get him?
Well, so first of all, there was an article on this, and it opened up, and it was written by Ben Casey a couple hours ago.
Okay.
But it opened up talking about how Morey said recently that it'd be less likely that they make a trade as compared to past seasons, but that Serge Ibaka's name keeps coming up because it's Morey. Of course, he's always looking and trying to make a deal. But so someone went out and put together a trade evaluation, I guess, on the
trade track.
Yeah. And it had Ibaka for Corey Brewer, KJ McDaniels, and Montrezl Harrell.
There's no way Orlando does that deal.
That's $11.99 million in salary for 12.25.
Obviously, it works, but why would Orlando do that?
So you get a power
deal
forward with a 19.6 PER versus Ibaka's 17.7. You get Corey Brewer and, you know, whatever he brings in his big-ass salary. And then you get KJ McDaniels as kind of a throw-in to make the money work. The interesting thing is on the trades, it says that Orlando becomes a -4 in wins as affected by the trade, mm-hmm. and the Rockets become a -1. So that both teams are better off not making the trade.
I would disagree with the -1 on the Rockets side.
No, I'm just reading the.
I'm not fighting with you this time, but I am going against what the prognosticators say in terms of the adjustment to the win total. But here's the thing: if you're Orlando. And he is expiring at 12.25. So if he's expiring, you don't have to do anything, and you can get rid of him if you want. But if you want to get something for him, look, I think the addition of Harrell is a nice, athletic, young, big to work with at a pretty good price. But in terms of everything else, Corey Brewer still got, what, one more?
Two.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, KJ McDaniels is always the P word. He's always got potential. Uh-oh. But until he fulfills it, I mean, potential gets people fired, too.
True.
I just don't think they're getting enough in return. I would think that they'd probably want a Decker. They'd want another young guy that you could say, hey, look, I got a lotto pick type player in Sam Decker, as well as Harrell, another young big, and now we can build for the future. I just don't think that's enough.
The Rockets have, if I'm not mistaken, they have 2 second-round picks this year.
That probably sounds right. Daryl's the master of the second-round pick.
Yeah, so I think they've got two. They've got, obviously, their own first-round pick, and then they've got 2 second-round picks. Would you give up one or both of those second-round picks?
Take them. Take them now.
Yeah, because, yep. I mean, it's never any value in the second round anyways.
Right. Oh, no. He's found some value, and CD used to find value,
too. But do you think Orlando would see value in a couple of second-round picks?
Yeah, because they're still trying. And again, right here, by the way, Brewer's got this and one more.
Yeah, that's what I said, two years left.
Yeah. And so KJ McDaniels 2 years. Is an option. Is it a player option?
That I don't know.
It is a team option. Okay. So you could unload. Okay, so now it makes a little bit more sense, but it still doesn't. Because if you just let Ibaka walk, you gain 12.25 under the, for the cap for next year.
Yeah, but you are getting, in that scenario, I mean, Harrell, he's on the books for 2 years for $1 million.
See, this is why I say
that's a good, to me.
Well, this is why I say they're going to want more than that. You're right. That's a starting point. But I want Decker because Decker's under contract for this one, for next one, and you have the option to sign him at 2.7 for the following one.
But if you're the Rockets, you're not giving up Montrezl Harrell and Sam Decker for Serge Ibaka, are you?
Right. Because, again, if you're Daryl, what that tells you is...
Maybe throw in a second-round draft pick from the Magic?
Yeah, you might get a pick back. And then from Daryl's standpoint, you say, look, if it doesn't work out, Ibaka's gone at the end of the year, and I got 12.25 to use to go get other guys that I can pinpoint are perfect fits.
Yeah, so, I'm okay with that. Even though I really do like Sam Decker's ceiling. I think that kid's going to be... I mean, he's never going to be great.
I'm not sure we can see it yet.
He's never going to be an all-star.
Right.
But I think as far as a contributor and a role player and a piece... on a team, I think Sam Decker could be that guy. I think Montrezl Harrell could be that guy.
I was going to say, those two guys alone for their price, and the Rockets fans get mad at me because I said, he may never be an all-star. And everybody was talking when he went that little stretch where he was playing really well, that he's going to be a future all-star. I said, no, he may never reach all-star status. And that's not a slap in his face. That's just the way the whole all-star process works and how everybody has to have one guy. So don't take that as a negative. But that guy's a really good fit for most every team in this league because of his athleticism, because of his sneaky strength, his hops, and the way he understands. He played with a good coach in Patino.
Yeah.
He understands systems, and he's okay being a role player. I think that's a guy that a lot of teams want. I just think that they'd want more a likes of another young guy like Decker instead of trying to take on Brewer for this one and another one at 7.5.
It'll be, I always get excited about NBA trade deadlines because I like seeing deals get made, especially when it's your team that you root for, which is also why I love the Hot Stove League in baseball.
Yep.
So this is going to be fun, man.
Ever since I was a kid, first thing I did is open up the sports page and look at the transaction section. Yeah. I always looked for trades and waves and cuts and pickups to see how teams got better and who got worse. By the way, Bobby Brown. He'll cost you $259,000 if he's thrown in.
Yeah, well, that'd be your prerogative.
What? Oh, my God.
He did it. By the way, Orlando's picks in the second round, they have their own. They have the Lakers. If the Lakers don't convey first-round pick to Philly in 2017, then they have Sacramento's 56-60 via Boston.
Boston? Watch out for Boston and Philly, who have stockpiled picks in the next couple of years doing some things.
So they do have some second-round picks if you wanted to say Harrell and Decker for Ibaka and a second-round pick.
Yeah. I think it's something they got to consider because I think they're close enough that this is the kind of deal that could help them take a really serious run at it this year.
And their own second-round pick should be pretty high.
So, for sure.
It should be even if they don't give you LAs, if they take their own second-round pick, it should be a pretty good pick.
So would you, if you could, Serge Ibaka? I think we can all pass on the likes of Jared Jack and Mario Chalmers.
Yeah.
But Super Mario, you might have some jokes for that, too.
No.
All right, well, we've got plenty more show to go. We've got two segments left. So if you want to join us, 713-780-ESPN, hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4 o'clock, and we'll take your calls, tweets, texts, and we'll take jabs at you if they're really worthless and cowardly. All right, we're ESPN 97.5.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock. Half hour to go on the show. Interesting thing that kind of fits the theme of one of our themes today. People get butt hurt over just stuff that is just sports. It's ridiculous. But there's a story and an interview that goes with it. If you really want to hear from Joe Lacob, the owner of the Golden State Warriors, then go find the audio. But he was on a Bay Area radio station and basically told the story of how he was offended by the fact that during the collective bargaining meetings going on this last offseason, owners and or their spokespeople were getting together, because in Houston, the owner doesn't always go, but they send the Triple X sweater vest, and he just gets off on those dinners and who he hobnobbed with. But the owner of the Warriors, Joe Lacob, says Michael Jordan wasn't impressed with the team's record last season and the win total in the 73. He basically said people were drinking, having a good time, all that, and there was a moment when Jordan said, you know, 73 doesn't mean, and I'll just say the S word. He did it. Michael Jordan did that. And I looked at him and said, I just decided not to, you know, make a big deal of it. I said, you know, you're right. We didn't win it. We had to get better. He's fantastic, and I'm not going to cross him, but that kind of hurt, you know? I mean, at the end of the day, he's right. It's hard to say, you know, when you don't put the exclamation point on it, it's like the Patriot team a few years ago that was undefeated in the regular season, but they didn't win at all. You know, I think you gotta put the capper for it to be one of the greatest seasons of all time. Not to take anything away, 73 wins is impressive. It's the greatest regular season win total of all time. But what did you expect from a guy that literally would step on your neck any chance he got if it meant he ended up on top?
Just trying to stay relevant. I think this, I mean, that's part of it.
Here's the thing. Michael did not bring the attention to it either.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to make this public. He's not a public guy. But at the end of the day, he's a competitor. He's always good. I mean, look, the way he still plays golf and gambles and stuff like that, and he's going to compete. And part of competing is believing that you either were or are better than anybody else. And so his point is, we won 72, but we won it all. You won 73, and you lost.
It's hard to argue with it.
It really is, right?
I mean, it's hard. No one remembers second place. You can't say it was the greatest team ever.
In that case, first place in the regular season, but second place overall.
Yeah. Because it's not about winning the regular season.
It's like the Patriots team. That Patriots team probably would have gone down as the greatest team put together in the history of the NFL for one season.
Damn you, Eli Manning.
Well, and David Tyree. Damn you, helmet, for getting in the way of an incomplete pass and making it a catch. But for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And it takes the luster off of it, and it takes the shine and the overall tip of the cap.
And there are Falcons fans everywhere going, damn you, Julian Edelman.
In some ways, shape, or form, I'm sure they are. And also, damn you, Tom Brady.
Well, that was a lot more Edelman than Brady on that particular
catch.
Well, that
one play, yes. Yeah. I mean, like I said, that was just phenomenal.
Because if he doesn't make that, you don't know what happens in that drive. Yeah,
and I said that when we talked about it on Monday, and said, look, Julio Jones would have gone down as the hero of that game for those two big catches had Edelman not made his, because it was a 20-some yard gain. It put them squarely in scoring position, and it changed the complexion. I said it went from hopeful to probable that they were going to tie the game when they made that big of a jump that quickly with time running out. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, look, I don't know why Golden State's owner would be willing to share that story publicly either, because people already felt that way without having to hear that Michael said it.
True.
And when you hear that Michael said it, you just kind of go, yeah, you expect that out of Michael.
True.
So
I mean, it doesn't surprise me that he said it. A couple of people are asking about the tickets and stuff. And I'll have two more to give away tomorrow. I'll give away two more for the show tomorrow.
Will you give them that those are begging and asking, or will you give them in a contest?
And then other people are asking me for a link to buy tickets, so I've tweeted that out as well. If you want to go buy tickets for the show, you can do that as well. But I do want to say happy birthday to Nestor Carmona.
He's great listener of the show.
Yeah, he's been trying to win tickets forever. Poor guy. And so he has been unsuccessful as of yet. But happy birthday to him. And also, happy birthday to our very own Esme. It is her birthday today. She turned 21.
We talk about a beautiful person inside and out and one of the sweetest ladies you're ever going to meet. Esme answers the phones here. She does so many things behind the scenes that people don't realize. And she always has a smile on her face. Yep. And she's always willing to help. She's fantastic. Yep. So happy birthday, Esme.
And she turns 21 today. So that's really cool. Yeah. Nope. What?
Again.
Nope.
I didn't say how many times.
I'm not. That's all you, Esme.
She has a daughter that Nick calls her daughter.
That was Joseph L. Blank that said that.
That would be my grandfather, and he's passed
away. Oh, would it?
But yeah.
Without the L. Oh.
But he's Joseph.
That was Joel Blank.
People that have no clue used to call me Joseph.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that. Can I start doing that?
Because, like I said, people that have no clue would call me that, so that'd be perfect for you.
Joseph it is.
El Jefe tweets us, and it's something that I kicked around in the past that we didn't talk about on air, but we said what a disgrace it was when I talked to people that went on the road and saw the Texans play in Tennessee, that the greats in Oilers history and their numbers, especially for guys like you, especially you, Barry, that were, you know, big Oilers fans, to have Bruce Matthews' jersey hanging in Tennessee, to have Earl Campbell's number in Tennessee. There's a discussion now that it's time, with Bud Adams passed on and everything else, time to return the legacy of the Oilers to Houston and allow that to be part of their history instead of the Titans. Agree, disagree?
I agree.
I do too.
Because it was the Houston Oilers, and it was never the Tennessee Oilers. It was the Tennessee Titans, and they started a new history there. And I think that what happened for the players that had retired and the Love You Blue era, that was so Houston. I mean, that was so H-Town. I mean, you know, you talk to people like my mom that were at the Dome when they came back, and Bud Adams is like, you know, last year we knocked on the door, and this year we beat, and next year we're going to kick that son of a in. And I mean, they were there for that. That's Houston. That doesn't resonate with people in Tennessee. No one in Nashville gives a crap about that moment, but that was a big deal in Houston sports history, man. And it belongs back here.
And the Tennessean itself, the newspaper, is doing the story where Warren Moon recounts the story of having his jersey retired in 2006, but in Tennessee. And he said, it was strange. I'm standing there with my family on the field thanking everybody, except for them seeing me on television. They probably never saw me play in person. He told the Tennessean that as Marcus Mariota approached some of his single-season franchise record, it's a weird feeling. It's kind of the way we live in today's society. When franchises move, all the history from that franchise moves along with that team. All my history and everybody else who played for the Oilers were in the same boat. It all moved to Tennessee. And I said from the get-go, I thought that was wrong. And I think for the city, you're hurt by that, and you should be. Because if you're an Oiler fan, there's no doubt that there's only one place for all those stats to land and all those retired numbers and all that information, and that's right here in H-Town. And regardless, even if you never had another team, they should hang it from whatever rafters, whatever stadium you were in, whether it be the Dome or NRG or whatever. And if you got a guy like Warren Moon making the point, I just think it's something that you got to consider in lieu of everything that's happened, because I just think that Houston stats, Houston records, and Houston retired numbers are in the should belong and stay and rest in the city of Houston.
Amen.
And there you have that.
Amen.
And you know, and there's also been a case. Now people are saying, look, it's been 20 seasons since the Oilers relocated to Tennessee, becoming the fourth NFL team to do that. But Los Angeles lost both the Raiders to Oakland, the Rams to St. Louis in 95. Cleveland lost the Browns to Baltimore in 96. In each instance, as in the case in today's era of upheaval, when the Rams returning to L.A., the Chargers leaving San Diego to join them, and the Raiders flirting with Las Vegas, the catalyst for each franchise move revolves around tax dollars, degeneratively deteriorating stadiums, and all that stuff. But there's a history of markets that get these projects done once teams leave, and you want the history to stay there. I just think, man, get it done, Paul. Roger Goodell, you've been such a yahoo in so many ways for the sport lately. You could actually cement a little bit of goodwill for your legacy if you could do something like this.
I agree.
And on that note, that's a wrap.
No. and then Chris Sparks said that it was the Tennessee Oilers. And I don't recall that.
I don't recall that either.
It may have been for the year or two when they didn't play. It's possible. But
I don't think they
ever
played a game as the Tennessee Oilers.
Even if it was, it's not the Oilers.
Okay, so here.
It's the Titans. bring it on back home to the
Bayou City. It says Bud Adams franchise rebranded as the Titans the same year. It had been playing as the Tennessee Oilers for two nomadic seasons. So there you go. So for two seasons, it was the Tennessee Oilers.
Okay. Well, still. Then they can have those two seasons worth of whatever. But Earl Campbell, Dan Pastorini, Warren Moon,
Bruce Matthews,
Kenny Stabler,
Eldon Bethea.
Yeah, all that needs to come back here. Ernest Givens and all that. Bring that on back here. Jack Pardee, all that. Bring it back.
We talked to Bruce Matthews, and Bruce Matthews is quoted in the story that says, I still live in Houston, so I know how ingrained the Oilers were in the fabric of the Houston community. To this day, people will share what made the memories of the time spent with parents, dad specifically, special for them. It's really hard, and I feel for those fans. And we talked to him at Radio Row about how weird it was for him to see those numbers hanging in Tennessee when he played in Houston. So definitely, let's get something going somewhere. You guys have the ability to get some things moving, get some action taken. Let's get something in front of Goodell that says it's time. Let's get those records and numbers and all the history back in H-Town where they belong. We got a franchise. We definitely need those numbers to represent the fact that Love You Blue was a huge part of the Houston community.
Southeast Texas Sports said, two agrees in one segment. Watch it.
I know, it's careful. I said that's a wrap. We should just
Much go together now.
No, we don't.
Okay.
Not even close. So, all right, we got one segment left to go, and looks like Nick's going to run the rest of the show because I'm out of here after all that.
We're sexing at the break.
Whoa. Okay, whoa.
Look how uncomfortable Joel got.
Just very.
Come on, man.
Very Barry.
You're not going to let me touch you on the butt? Just like a little, just grab
just
it.
Like
just
who?
One time?
No.
Just one time?
Nope.
Grab your butt one time.
No, sir.
Little office romance?
No.
All right.
I don't know. I see how that developed.
You're lost.
From one touch to an office romance. And as Barry Turns returns in a minute, we'll
You're
be
my
back
work
with
husband.
More ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock as we get ready to wrap it up and put a bow on it. Turn it over to the Blitz with Fred and AJ coming up.
Somebody on text was like, Bud Adams said that, not Bum Phillips. Or Bum Phillips said that, not Bud Adams. I'm pretty sure I said Bum Phillips. But if I didn't,
did too, but
I misspoke. And yes, I know it was Bum Phillips that said it.
We get more people on a daily
basis. That was Dr. Dre on 290.
That correct us grammatically and otherwise.
It was Dr. Dre on 290.
Just appreciate that you don't have to deal with other Yahoos.
Yeah,
so,
I know words matter. I try.
Speaking of
radio's not a big deal, but it feels worse when they correct you on Twitter.
Well, they do that all the time.
That does
yeah.
suck. Hey, by the way, just confirmed Derek Lewis will be joining us tomorrow, 2:30. MMA fighter.
Pumped
big,
for that.
Big fight coming up in Canada on the 16th.
Wheelhouse for you boys.
Yeah, on the 16th, right?
That's a BP fastball in the middle of the plate.
Yeah, I think it's on the 16th. But dude's hilarious. Good follow on Instagram and Twitter and so forth. But yeah, he'll be joining us for a couple segments tomorrow.
Speaking of Yahoo, too, Nick, you had breaking news.
So Adrian Wojnarowski, who's been a longtime NBA guy for Yahoo Sports, apparently, according to Twitter, unless it's wrong, he's going to ESPN and taking his talents to ESPN.
Unless it's alternative news, Nick, that is big because Woj is the man that has more contact information and cell phone numbers for every important person in the NBA than anybody I know.
This is the guy that I remember when he was, I don't know if he was getting in trouble, but they're like, why are you guys tweeting out news? And he was like, if I have news that I'm sitting on, I'm tweeting it out. I don't care if the draft, you know, says it before I do or I don't. If I have news, I'm tweeting it out. And that's the kind of guy he is. He's always been like
good.
That. He's
yeah,
never,
the genius
he's never
GM
trying to hide anything.
Thinks
he
walks
reports
on
everything.
Water. The genius GM thinks he walks on water. I mean, that's the end all
I've
be
seen,
all.
Who
I've
is
seen
the genius GM?
At Houston.
Your favorite number cruncher at the Big Sequoia.
Oh.
Yeah. They just think he hung the moon.
They really do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's funny because...
Well, he has a base, you know.
He had the story that Mikhail got let go before the meeting was over that Mikhail got let go, according to Mikhail. We'll ask him about it this week.
Huh.
That'll tell you something. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, Dan Fouts came out today.
Oh, good for him.
Not that way.
Oh.
On the Terrell Owens situation that we had been talking about, to come full circle, he said, I think Terrell's numbers are very worthy, But on the other side of it, I think his actions on and off the field, on the sidelines, in the locker room, and the fact he played for so many teams and was such a great player, the question that comes back to me is, if he was such a great player, why did so many of those teams get rid of him? And I think we all know the answers. I just think, again, that's BS. If the numbers speak for themselves, which he even admitted they do, that's what you should be judged on.
Mm-hmm.
Not the popcorn and the pom-poms.
Stop it, Dan. Stop being silly.
Yeah.
I mean, for anyone to come out and try to make an argument against T.O. based on the way he acted, I mean, it's not like, I mean, he was, okay, if he was bad in the locker room, there are plenty of players, I'm guessing, in the Hall of Fame that were not great teammates.
Sure.
I mean,
a ton of them.
Yeah. So don't, I mean, you can't use that as criteria. It's what he did on the field, look, how he impacted the game on the field that should matter.
Travis has told this story several times.
Unless he said, it's a crime.
He said, well, but he said, rather than, regardless of whether you're in college or pros, you could be sharing a locker room and have the stall next to a guy that you have no idea how he was brought up, what he went through, and what it took to get him where he is sitting next to you. But if you expect that that guy's going to change his ways and be a different guy simply because he either got a scholarship or he got an opportunity to play in the NFL, you're absolutely wrong. That those kind of things, that survival mode, those things are ingrained in their daily lives to the point where you may expect that because they're on a certain team at a certain level that they're going to change, but at the end of the day, you find out in a hurry, they are who they've always been, not who you thought they were. And that's something that people have a hard time swallowing, but the fact of the matter is that you can't take away what he was when he went between those lines and strapped on that helmet.
I'm with you.
And I think there's been way worse teammates than T.O., right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the good thing is he's always been supportive of his team.
That's my quarterback.
I'm sure that Donovan McNabb didn't appreciate being called out for upchucking in the huddle in the Super Bowl.
Well.
But at the same time, look, I mean, there's guys across this league that'll tell you that he was not only a good teammate, but he backed it up on the field on Sunday.
And he's also he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for crunches on the driveway.
Yeah. Without an agent like Drew Rosenhaus watching.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a baseball question?
Sure.
Because we got a text for it, and I don't want to ignore them. And they're from the 409. And they're from the 409.
Oh, don't call it a comeback.
I think it's Jed that texted it in.
Okay.
He said, predicting that Chris Sale wins the Cy Young and David Price gets second place, being the first AL teammates to ever finish 1-2. That's from Jed.
Say that again.
He says he's predicting that Chris Sale wins the Cy Young.
Okay.
And David Price gets second place, being the first AL teammates to ever finish 1-2.
That would mean David Price might have to have one hell of a comeback season. Because
Do you think Sale wins the Cy Young? Is he your front runner going in?
Can I answer it with a question first?
Okay.
Do you think that Big Papi comes back?
No.
I know he's contemplated it because of the fact that they got Chris Sale and they loaded
up. If he
up.
Does, he's got to give back the boots and all that other crap he collected along the way in every city.
Or he should. It's like a wedding that gets called off.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can't be like that.
I think it's possible. I think that offensively, I want to know how they're going to replace Big Papi in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that starting rotation is pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
You still got the likes of Verlander. There are guys in the American League that are, you know, going to be right up there. So I think it's improbable, but it is possible.
You think it's improbable?
I think it's improbable, but it's possible. Your thoughts?
I think he's got a legit shot at it. I really do.
No, I think Sale could win the Cy Young. I just don't think – I don't know about the 1-2 because I'm not sold on Price. Yeah. That's what I was talking about.
I thought you meant just Sale.
No. I think Sale with any kind of lineup better than what he had behind him and that whole Red Sox thing.
Right.
No, I think he's got a legitimate chance to win it for sure. The 1-2 thing, Price just didn't impress me at all.
Right.
That was misspent money unless he really has a bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you on that. I was never – when there was talk of the Astros maybe going after Price, I was like, eh.
Richard tweeted again because Richard is like my biggest critic for some reason. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, can we agree tomorrow during the Lewis segment? I won't talk unless Green Bay's brought up. And I said, quite honestly, you got a deal because, look, I don't know MMA and UFC and all the things like you guys do. And I know it's right down your wheelhouse. I'm not going to like screw the listeners and right. try and like that's fine with me.
Yeah, we can do hockey. I know you're from up north. We can have a hockey segment and I won't talk.
Hockey. I'm not going to speak about hockey and the organization.
No, I will not. You don't have a hockey segment?
No, don't you know? There's too much checking on the boards.
Okay.
I'll pass on that one.
We can totally do it. You and Nick could have a hockey.
Oh, Nick, now you're being roped into the hockey even though you're from Houston your whole time here.
Yeah. Shout out to the city of Wisconsin.
Yeah, watch the video if you don't understand.
Yeah. City
All right.
Wisconsin.
We put the bow on this one. We get ready to turn it over to Fred and AJ. The Blitz is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow with same time, same channel, same three guys, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.